Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another great show. Welcome to Live on the Day with Jay. I am your host, Jay, and this is the day that everyone wants to celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is January the 18th, and this is MLK Day officially, even though his birthday was Friday. We got a lot to talk about. Number call 347-945-7405. We're going to talk a little bit today about what is it that you think should happen after Dr. King's March on Washington, his historic March on Washington, that is. And are we doing what we should be doing to keep the dream alive? I'm going to have three good reasons. It's going to be some people that not like me today. I know this. But I'm going to have three reasons why I say that Dr. King should be turning over in his grave right now. There's a lot of things that he put in place that we're just not doing. And I can tell you this. We have to be able to do these things year-round, every day, not just on MLK Day. These are things that have to happen every day. Now, I'm not trying to be, bearer of bad news or anything like that, but what I am saying is, if we don't get our stuff together, everything that Dr. King live for is not going to happen. We have to understand that there is a bigger role in today's world for our young people than what we are having going on right now. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about Jada Pinkett Smith and what she had to say to the Oscars. And I tell you, this couldn't have come at a better time. And we're going to talk about the people that were on the show last time. Well, they called it. Number call 347-945-7405. Guys, I definitely live in the day with Jay.
Fly away, fly away, fly away.
higher grounds be in my grasp, but life's quicksand be mad turbulent. Never falling off, I push on, cause it's urgent and mandatory. It ain't about the fame and the glory, but the struggle to stay on top takes muscle. Hustle every day, swinging a 9 to 5. My life is paycheck to paycheck, tears and sweat. No time for friends that wanna fake and become foes. I roll solo down the yellow brick road. The sign up ahead states my future's 80 miles away. I'm trying to reach my destination before day. Hey, how you doing? I'm just passing through. While all the while I'm checking my rear view, but any sudden moves, problems they circle in to try and outbox me. My name is Dre Rock, cause the road's always been rocky. I give the finger to the grim reaper. It's not my time to die, so I'm saying bye, bye, bye. Escape to the middle.
Weekdays at 5 o'clock p.m. to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen or call in by dialing 347-945-7405. Again, that's 347-945-7405. And that's the voice of the community. So tune in to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
Hey, what's up, family? This is your boy D-Lo, and you are now live in the day with Jay. Peace.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy.
To the show, number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. Go talk a little bit, guys, about MLK Day. There is so much that I can say about this day. But first, let me say to the listeners that listened to the show Friday when we had Mr. Jabril Huff on the show, and I took a few calls, and I had a couple of idiots that called in on the show to try to leave a negative overtone to the show. You know, I apologize for even giving them the 3 seconds that I actually gave them to speak, but I invite you, because I know you're listening to the show, I invite you to call the show again. And this time I'm going to put you on. And this time we're going to talk about why you feel it's your place to be so ignorant and to call in. If my show is not what you want, I find it very hard to believe that you sat and waited almost 40 minutes just to speak to me. So it's relevant in some sort of way with you because you wouldn't have waited that long. I know I wouldn't if I didn't think the show was worth 2 cents. But anyhow, we're going to talk a little bit about MLK. There is a lot that I can say about how we're not progressing. And to be honest with you, there are things that we are doing in the community that we shouldn't be doing. There are things that we should be doing that we're not doing. And it just boils down to what exactly do we want for the future of our young people? What exactly do we want for our communities? What exactly do we want for the betterment of how we have to live right now in this day and age? We can scream all day long, thank you, Dr. King, for everything you've done. We can have parades. We can have breakfasts. We can have dinners. We can have marches. We can do all of that every year. We can do the same thing. But one thing that baffles me is how we can do this on MLK Day and then turn right around the next day and go back to doing the same things that Dr. King preached about, being jealous of one another to the point where you do not want to help one another, not helping keeping your community where it should be, safe, not talking to some of these young people who really need mentors, female and male. They need mentors so that they can get through these terrible times that we are going through right now. You guys might not think that it's a bad time, but I can promise you, if we keep going at this rate with the way we are displaying how we have distaste for one another just because of our religious preference or the color of our skin or who we date or whatever the case may be, married to, whatever. If you guys think this is how it should be, then you are sadly mistaken. There's lots and lots of things that we need to be doing to make our community great, to make our nation great. And fighting against one another is not how we should go about this approach. This is, Dr. King had the nonviolent approach, but Dr. King had a blueprint. Was to face the enemy. His blueprint was to educate the misguided, the misunderstood, the misinformed. His plan was to equip them with knowledge, discipline, respect, and the knack for surviving and progressing. We haven't been doing that. The things I see going on in our communities are a shame. We have leaders who are not leading, male and female. Don't get me started on how they are very conniving or can be very conniving. Not all, but there are some that can be very conniving and underhanded in the way that they're doing things. I would name drop and call people out on the show, but I'm not going to do it, not just yet. Not just yet, but there'll come a time where we need to discuss that. I give you guys the platform to get out any message that you need to get out to the community. And yet, I still can't get the support that I fully deserve or that we need to get to the next level. It's a shame. It's a shame that you feel in this day and age, I'm talking as a black man now, that you feel at this day and age that you cannot trust your own people. But yet still, we take every year off to be off of Dr. King's holiday. How about, you know, we just get a whole list of people and we just start telling them, you work on Dr. King holiday because you haven't done anything to deserve to take the day off. How about we start throwing casting stones that way? Number calls 347-945-7405. When we come back, I'm going to play a couple of clips. I'm going to give you some contrasting views of how Dr. King actually thought. And I want you to listen to these clips. And I want you to really try to understand what it is that he is wanting to get across to his people. 347-945-7405. I'm talking to you right here, right now, while you're live in the day with Jay.
world. You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Make something out of myself.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Guys, I want you to definitely tune in to the show on Friday. We will have Free Fall Friday, and hopefully we will be talking with none other than Spike Lee. We look soon to try to get an interview with Spike Lee so he can come on the show and tell you guys what's going on in his world and what his take is on the Oscars. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, I got a lot of great surprises for you this season on the show. We got a lot of people who are going to be talking to a lot of influential people, a lot of local people that have made their mark in this area in North Carolina, in Gastonia, North Carolina, that is. We're going to be talking to them also during this new season of the show. Now, Dr. King. Dr. King had many, many, many hats that he wore, different roles that he played, different things that he tried to accomplish. But there were times where Dr. King had to, as you say, step outside of himself. Now, Dr. King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, the list goes on and on. These people played a very influential role in getting us thus far. Very influential role. And for us not to even exercise the right to vote, it's a slap in the face to people like Medgar Evers. It's a slap in the face to him. And we should actually look at things a little better than we do. I'm going to play a clip. This is Martin Luther King with his on Malcolm X. And I'll tell you why I played this clip afterwards. But then I'm going to go into another clip also. The clip of Martin Luther King on Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, one of the most articulate exponents of the Black Muslim philosophy, has said of your movement and your philosophy that it plays into the hands of the white oppressors, that they are happy to hear you talk about love for the oppressor because this disarms the Negro and fits into the stereotype of the Negro as a meek, turning the other cheek sort of creature. Would you care to comment on Mr. X's belief?
Well, I don't think of love as, in this context, as emotional bosh. I don't think of it as a weak force. But I think of love as something strong and that organizes itself into powerful direct action. This is what I tried to teach in the struggle in the South, that we are not engaged in a struggle that means we sit down and do nothing. That there's a great deal of difference between non-resistance to evil and non-violent resistance. Non-resistance leaves you in a state of stagnant passivity and deadened complacency, wherein non-violent resistance means that you do resist in a very strong and determined manner. And I think some of the criticisms of nonviolence, or some of the critics, fail to realize that we are talking about something very strong, and they confuse non-resistance with nonviolent resistance.
He goes beyond that in some of the things I've heard him say, that this is deliberately your philosophy of love of the oppressor, which he identifies completely with the nonviolent movement. He says this philosophy and this movement are actually encouraged by whites because it makes them comfortable. It makes them believe that the Negroes are meek, supine creatures.
Well, I don't think that's true. If anyone has ever lived with a nonviolent movement in the South, from Montgomery on through the Freedom Rides and through the sit-in movement and the recent Birmingham movement, and see the reactions of many of the extremists and reactionaries in the white community, he wouldn't say that this movement makes, this philosophy makes them comfortable. I think it arouses a sense of shame within them often, in many instances. I think it does something to touch the conscience and establish a sense of guilt. Now, so often people respond to guilt by engaging more in the guilt-evoking act in an attempt to drown the sense of guilt. But this approach certainly doesn't make the white man feel comfortable. I think it does the other thing. It disturbs this conscience, and it disturbs this sense of contentment that he's had.
Now, that was Dr. King's approach to what was going on with Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm X, that, back in the day. Two contrasting views, but they both work. Now, I want to play Dr. King talking to Montreat College in North Carolina, and you're going to see another contrasting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So here's Dr. King at Montreat College.
Our power will lie in picking up the weapons of love and nonviolence and taking out their bodies and our souls and mobilizing them into a powerful mass movement that will bring attention to the issue and that will so create the kind of creative tension that no community can ignore it. And I think that this, as we go on in the days ahead, can guide us into a brighter tomorrow. And so somehow we must be able to say to our most violent opponents, we will not in any way hate you. We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And so throw us in jail, and we will still love you. Threaten our children and bomb our homes, and we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities after midnight hours and drag us out on some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead and even kill us. And as hard as it is, we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit morally or culturally for integration, and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. One day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and your conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. This is it. This is the love that I like to talk about. I'm not talking about a weak love here. I'm not talking about emotional bash. I'm not talking about some affectionate emotion even. It's something much deeper than that. The Greek language comes to our aid as we try to understand the meaning of love in this context. There are three words in the Greek language for love. That is the word eros. Eros is a sort of aesthetic love, a sort of yearning of the soul for the realm of the divine. Plato talks about it a great deal in his dialogue. It has come to us to be a sort of romantic love, and in this sense we all know about Eros. We've read about it in all of the beauties of literature and experienced it. In a sense, Edgar Allan Poe was talking about Eros when he talked about his beautiful Annabel Lee, with the love surrounded by the halo of eternity. In a sense, Shakespeare was talking about some form of Eros when he said, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with a remover to remove. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. It is a star to every wandering bark. You know, I can remember that. I'm about to lose my voice because I used to quote that to my wife when we were courting. That's Eros. The Greek language talks also about philia. Philia, which is another level of love, and this is a beautiful love, but a reciprocal love. On this level, you love because you are love. You love the people that you like. This is friendship. This is a great and profound and meaningful love, but the Greek language comes out with the word agape. Agape is more than eros or phileo. Agape is more than romantic, aesthetic, friendship, that kind of love. It's more than that. Agape is understanding creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. It is a creative love, an overflowing love, a spontaneous love that seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart. When one rises to love on this level, he loves every man, not because he likes him, not because his ways appeal to him, but because God loves him. And he rises to the position of being able to love the person who does the evil deed while hating the deed that the person does. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm so happy he didn't say like your enemies, because it's kind of difficult to like some people. I think it would be difficult for Negroes in Selma, Alabama to like Mr. Jim Clark, or for Negroes in Birmingham in 1963 to like Mr. Bull Connor. But Jesus said love them. And love is greater than like. Love is understanding creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. And it helps you to understand even Mr. Connor and even Mr. Clark, because you come to see that they were taught that way. They lived in a culture that surrounded them with those attitudes, and even sometimes that churches supported them in their convictions. And so while you can't like what they are doing and their attitudes, you begin to love them as persons. And as you march against them, as you stand up with all of your might against the unjust system, your ultimate purpose is even to redeem them and to bring about the beloved community. These are some of the things before. As we face the frontier of racial tension, let me say, my friends, as I come to my conclusion, that if this problem is to be solved in our country today, there must be a sort of divine discontent. It isn't going to work itself out, but enough people must rise up and be a part of that creative minority. Say, I'm going to take a stand in spite of. There are certain words within every academic discipline that soon become stereotypes and cliches. Every academic discipline has its technical nomenclature. Modern psychology has a word that's probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. Now, certainly we all want to live the well-adjusted life. In order to avoid the neurotic and schizophrenic personality. But I must honestly say to you, and I hope you will understand, that there are some things in our nation and in our society to which I'm proud to be maladjusted, which I hope all men of goodwill will be maladjusted until the good society is realized. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to segregation and discrimination. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I must say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. I must honestly say that I never intend to adjust myself to the madness of militarism and the self-defeating effects of physical violence. But when a day when man-made vehicles are dashing through outer space and guided ballistic missiles are carving highways of death through the stratosphere, no nation can win.
Let that marinate a minute. I want you guys to understand that Dr. King wore many hats. Many hats. Number to call is 347-945-7405. And number again is 347-945-7405. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
There's a new taste coming to town, and it's called Crispy Crunchy Chicken. That's right. Crispy Crunchy Chicken, located at the Lucky 7 Food Mart on 2230 North New Hope Road in Gastonia, North Carolina. On September 30th, the rich Cajun recipe of crispy, crunchy chicken will invade your taste buds. And remember, you buy, we fry. Crispy, crunchy chicken, coming to a mouth near you. The Gordon Foundation, Gaston County's newest vision for the youth, specializing in youth-based projects such as life skills learning, etiquette, and its pilot program, the Carolina Hornets Youth Football Program. For more information, contact Torin Gordon at 704-232-5748. That's 704-232-5748. Again, that's 704-232-5748.
This song I want to talk to the hustlers out there, you know, you cats doing your thing, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
there's a better way, you know what I'm saying? I just want to talk to you, just listen to me right now.
Break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Been down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what to do until you put on the pressure. Across 110th Street, a hell of a tester.
What's up, my people? This is Big Easy from K-Cup Records. You're listening to Live in a Day with Jay Radio Show. Keep your heads ringing.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Guys, I want you to really take a look at what Dr. King stood for and what you are doing to make this dream a reality. I told you at the beginning of the show, I have awakened from this dream. And the reason I say this is because what are the things that Dr. King wanted us to do in our communities? We're not with one another. We're not for one another. We're not helping our people. We're not helping people in general. We are out for self, and we got to continue. If we got to continue to be out for self, then there is no progress in that. We have to change the way we are thinking towards one another in order for us to get to the next level. I want to take the time now to thank you all for listening to the show. Guys, continue to support the show, because this is the only way we can get to the next level is if you continue to support the show. I love each and every one of you guys. The greatest love I know is the love of God, because God gives it to me each and every day. So as I say to you, peace. You guys have definitely been live in the day with Jay. We're going to leave you today with none of that dream. Peace.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. Thank you. refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy, which has engulfed the Negro community, must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution.
Yes.
And staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with.
Yes.
With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
Yes.
With this faith,
yes,
we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation,
yes,
into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith,
yes,
we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."